it's great to see what God does in our lives when we open our eyes and we can actually start taking account for what God's doing in our lives. See, it's right in line, not even having heard what he was going to speak about today. What God has put on my heart, we were supposed to start our concepts of what it's going to be like to be a church to live a life of generosity or with generosity in our lives. But this last week, I had a conversation on Monday with a young man who gave me a really solid question. Why does it matter? That was it. It ended there. Why does it matter? We were talking about just having different outlooks in life. We were talking about what it means to pursue life with kind of an understanding of how life should be. And he says, why does it matter anymore? What he was talking about was the concept is that we have in today's society that there is no right or wrong. We get to determine what our right and what our wrong are. There are no true truths, absolute truths in the world anymore, because it's just what I believe and what I feel in this world that matters. But the problem is when we keep on saying it's what matters to me and it's what I feel that matters, then it's just the world becomes about us. And it turns our eyes inward. And in that moment, we start painting a lens that we are now looking at the world through. See, now, I was blessed with the reminder every day that I am human and that the human body is frail, because every morning when I wake up in the morning, I have to wipe the sleep stuff from my eyes and I have to put on my glasses. Now, I'm lucky enough that I don't need my glasses to function. I can get up and walk without tripping over everything, and I have good depth perception, but it's blurry. In fact, I didn't even really realize it until a few years ago. I grew up with glasses, and I had LASIK in 2004 just before I left for my deployment. And then about a year and a half ago, I was noticing that things were just a little bit difficult to see. I'd go and I'd look at something, and it was just like, I can't read that from distance. And so I went into my doc, or the optometrist, just asked, he's like, hey, so you have a little bit of a hard time reading from a distance, don't you? I'm like, yeah, I do, doc. And he says, yeah, You're farsighted, you're nearsighted, you can see stuff up close, but further out it gets a little bit harder to see and focus. And so he prescribed glasses. He gave me the set of lens to help clarify the world I was looking at. And the funny thing was, is as a police officer, it's really important to be able to see that, right? You're a witness, you're trying to watch everything, you're looking at license plates, you're looking at faces as they pass you and distances, and if you don't have a clear view of what's going on, you might get something wrong. And some bad things might happen from that. So having a clear view of the world around you is important. And when I put my glasses back on and I could start seeing the finite details further out than I had been for about the last year, it reminded me that sometimes we need a lens to show us just what is actually happening in the world around us. And so as I was thinking about this young man's question, why does it matter what we believe in? What we choose to follow, I started understanding a deeper concept that we seem to miss in our society nowadays. And so please open your Bibles to Romans 12, verse 9 through 21. And as you're turning, I want you to think about all the different lenses you can put in front of your eyes to see the world in different ways. All the different points of view that are out there, all the different truths that run about each and every day. I want you to think about each morning as you wake up, you have a choice of what pair of glasses you put on. It's funny because I have two. I bought two pairs of glasses because, well, I tend to be silly and break stuff a lot, and so I figured I better have a spare on hand. And so they're different frames, and because they're different frames, I don't know if any of you have ever experienced this before, but the parallax, the place where they do the focusing on so that you do it, are in different places depending on the frames and the shape of the lens. And so my one pair of glasses just sees the world a little bit different than this pair does when I put it on. It's clear and I can do what I need to do, but it has a different perspective because that parallax is shifted to one side or the other from where these are. And so just even inside my lenses, my corrective lenses, there's a different view. And so each and every morning I have to choose, which one do I want? if I'm doing a lot of things with reading and I'm switching back and forth and I'm looking at this or that and I'm moving around a lot, I wear these. So these are the ones I wear most of the time. But if I know I'm just going to be looking at a computer screen for a good portion of my day, I wear my other ones because they're comfortable. So every morning I have to make that choice to decide, how do I want to view the world that day? What lens do I want to see the world through that day? And so today I'm going to ask you to be careful about what lens you pick. In Romans 12, verse 9, it starts out, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoice in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer." Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another, and do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord." And therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, let us hear your word, that we may find the truth and the wisdom that is inside of it, that it may change our hearts, that we may live a life that you call us to live. But most of all, Lord, let us put the lenses that you give us each and every day upon our face, that we view the world as you wish us to view the world, that we may see it for what you will it to be and the directions that you cast upon it. For Lord, it is your will that we wish to see. It is your love that we wish to feel. Lord, let us see through your lenses. Amen. So the question that we start out with is each and every morning when you wake up, what lenses do you put on? Do you choose to wear the lens that the world tells you to look at it through, or do you choose to wear the lens that God asks you to see it through? See, as believers in Jesus Christ, we're called to a higher standing. Make no doubt about it. That's a reason why when Paul talks about this section, it's known as Christian ethics, or the way the Christian should live. We are called to look something different than the rest of the world. We are called to a higher standard. And not that it's an expectation that we meet up to it each and every day, but there's an expectation that we strive to move towards it. And we can't do it if we keep on looking at the world through its lens and using the lenses that the world gives us. Because if I gave any one of you my glasses, you would not see clearly. Things would be blurry. If you have good sight without glasses, things would become very difficult to see. You'd probably lose some depth perception because I have astigmatism. You see, when we look at it through the world and just flesh, we don't see the truth that God gives us. But when we choose to put on the lenses that God gives us, when we choose to pursue the world in a way that God asks us to, then things can change. Love can be shared. I love how Paul starts out in verse 9, "Let love be without hypocrisy." So in other words, let love be what love is in God. Don't let it be changed. See, even in Christianity, we have a hard time with that message because for us to know what godly love is almost impossible, except for what we see on the cross. An unconditional, unending, all pain love. But the problem is if we take our eyes off the cross, if we lose it and we put a different set of lens on, love becomes more about what we want in the situation than what God has given in the situation. And it becomes full of hypocrisy. For if I tell you to do something because I want it and say it's love, it's more about me than about what we will do in Christ. And so we have to be careful to make sure that we wear the lens of love that God has forecast for us, that He's placed before our eyes, first and foremost, before we start worrying about what love as we see it or view it is. Which means that we have to go back to Scripture and see how God has spoken about love. He says, abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Well, if we aren't in Scripture, if we don't take the lessons and the wisdom that God has given us in Scripture and through the life of Jesus Christ, then how do we know what is good? If we turn to the person next to us who's never studied that and say, what is good? And then we take that as our standard. It becomes humanized and it becomes temporary. And it changes with the waves crashing upon the shore each and every session, or each and every culture as it changes. And that's where we find ourselves today is as we've passed aside the truth of what good is in Scripture, what God has declared being good, and we said, let human decide what good is. But see, that was the problem in the garden when we first took that sense in of knowing through the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that there was good and that there was evil. God warned us that we weren't ever designed to handle that because we were never to know what was truly good and consider stuff righteous. So now we find ourselves in a place of knowing that there is good and evil, but not being able to define it. And if we rely on humanity to define what is good and what is evil, then we end up where we are today. We end up in a society that's at each other's throats, telling each other that you're hateful or that you're this or that you're that. Instead, we should go back to knowing what is good through what God has declared good. And if you're curious what God declares is good, open up Genesis 1 and see that He has declared His creation good. He's declared His Son good. And so we must turn to those as our standard of what good is. To be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. So in other words, the body of Christ is called to be loving to one another. As Christ was loving as the head of the church, we are to be loving to each other. Sacrificially at certain points, that all may have the needs met instead of only some having the wants met. In honor, giving preference to one another. Church, sometimes we're very quick to eat each other and share love with those outside the church. We point fingers, we blame. You're not living a Christian enough life. You're not doing what Christ has called us to do. And I guarantee you that person understands that because they feel the conflict inside their hearts each and every day. And where we'll walk up to the person who is an addict or just went through a divorce because of adultery or any of these other things, and we'll extend God's love there. We'll push God's love away from those inside the church. And you wonder why people from outside the church don't want to come into the church, why they don't want to become part of the body, is because we'll eat each other before we'll ever be judgmental to someone outside. But here Paul's reminding us to be affectionate to one another, to have preference, giving honor to one another above all. And so church, when we start living this life and we start painting the lens to live as God calls us to live, it starts making the world look different. It starts making us look different. It starts making how we interact with people different. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So here what Paul's trying to remind them is that to go out, to not stand back and be sluggish in the world, but to be out on point. To not be fearful, but to be diligent in what we're doing, fervent in spirit. In other words, to be excited. How many of you, as you're sharing your faith, your testimony, are fervent in spirit, are excited to have that opportunity? Or do you sit fearful and hang back? When you talk about God, are you just bubbling with excitement and joy in your heart? Or are you monotone? Not talking about emotion. showing no excitement to our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who bought you eternal life. Yeah, if you gave me that pitch, I wouldn't want to talk to you either, because obviously it's not changing your heart. To be fervent in spirit means to just stand up and let it bubble out of you, to be so excited you can't contain it anymore. What if you looked at the world through that lens with excitement each and every morning you woke up to see, God, what is it today you call me to do? How would your life look different? To rejoice in hope, to be joyful in the sacrifice of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, to be made strong in that hope. See, when we rejoice in that hope, then we may be patient in tribulation. See, that's why Paul puts in that orders. So when we have hope in our life, when we understand that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ, that whatever we find ourselves in today means nothing, because we can push through it because we know we have eternal life. We know that we have a Lord and Savior that has paid the debt of sin, that we don't have to carry that to the grave, that we don't have to go to the grave. And he puts and hangs the hinge on it. He says, continually steadfast in prayer. So in other words, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually steadfast in prayer. So in other words, because of the hope you have in the tribulation you find yourself, go back to God and pray. What he's telling you to do is put your glasses back on, see the world as God is asking you to see that world, and let him be what navigates and moves you through the path of that tribulation. See, each and every morning you have to make that choice. What lenses are you going to put on? What pair of glasses are you going to put on? Are you going to put on the distorted ones? Or are you going to put on the ones that make the world clear? Have you ever been to a 3D movie? It used to be that they'd flash that little sign on the bottom of them. It's gotten a lot better now, but it'd be, put glasses on now. Any of you ever try watching that part of the movie without the glasses on? Everything's blurry, everything's fuzzy, there's no definition to it whatsoever. Put the glasses on, things are flying past your head. It becomes a real experience, right? I was lucky enough, one of the first movies I ever saw in the modern 3D, or what they call real 3D, was Avatar. It was at a big theater down in, up in Minneapolis. I mean, probably 2,000 people in it. It was a huge auditorium, and the screen was about the size of the building across from us. It was just massive. And we sat in the middle, and the screen was a 120-degree screen, so it wrapped back up around here. And when we put those glasses on, and it was 3D, real 3D all the time, it was like you were in that world. Even the things way in the back were 3D. It looked like they had depth. It was as if I was there. It was amazing. But I can tell you this, the world that God is painting the picture for us all around, when we choose to put our glasses on that he gives us, is amazing. It's as real as that real 3D was for Avatar. But if you don't put the glasses on, you won't see it. If you don't put Christ's glasses on each and every day of your life, you won't see it. You'll miss everything that's going on around you. It'll be blurred, or it won't look as what it's supposed to look like, and you won't even be able to identify it. And then people wonder why they don't live with God or why they don't feel God in their lives. It's because they aren't putting on the glasses he's asked them to put on. They're not trying to carry his sight with him. Continues on, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. So in other words, do as Jesus did for us. Jesus didn't have to die on the cross. He chose to die on the cross that we may not have to pay our debts. In God's will, God gave the option that we could be saved because he knows he's our only Savior. He's reaffirming that when we come before, we don't need to be worried. And he's asking us to carry that forward, to not persecute those, but to bless those who persecute us. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. So in other words, walk hand in hand for what they're experiencing. Be with them in those moments. See, when you put the lenses that Christ gives us on, we can see people's pain in their lives, and we can see people's joy in their lives, and we can walk hand in hand, and we can share joy, and we can share pain together so that they don't have to carry that full burden on themselves. Be of the same mind towards one another. So in other words, unify in Christ. As Christ has loved us, love others. Each and every one of us. And when we do that together, when we walk hand in hand, when we're of the same mind towards one another, when we encourage each other to seek Christ, then we can have joy in our lives. To not set our mind on high things, but to associate with the humble. So in other words, don't pursue what the world says is good, but instead live where God has placed you. And have joy in that. Have you ever noticed some of the richest and most powerful people in the world seem to be some of the most miserable people in the world? And they may put a good face on for a moment or two, but when you read in the daily news the disasters that are happening in their lives and the turmoil, and you listen to how they speak and the hate and the venom that comes out of their mouths, their true heart is being displayed in that. But when we remember that we are of God, and in wherever we find ourselves, that there is joy and happiness, then we can see the blessings for the blessings. And we can see the growth for where the growth takes us. And so each and every day we get a chance in our humbleness to remember just how good God is in providing the true things in life versus what the world says we should pursue. Do not be wise in your own opinion. So in other words, what you may find being good may not be what God says is good. How many times have we said that to ourselves, or how many times have we had friends come up and tell us, well, I really enjoy this, so God must want this for me. This is what I should be pursuing. Heck, Brother Luke even said that there was his plan, and he was following his plan, and he thought it was a good one. See, when we consider ourselves wise instead of going and consulting God with what his truth is, what his will is for us in our lives, we step out on the ice, and the ice is thin a lot of times. You may find yourself breaking through in freezing cold water, drowning because you can't breathe. So don't find wisdom in your own opinion. Seek out God's wisdom for what's going on. Pray, read scripture, go to your brother or sister in Christ and ask for their consult in that moment. He continues on to repay no one for evil, having regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So in other words, as long as they don't visit violence against you or hate against you, then live in peace with them. Whether you agree with them or not, whether they are a Christian or not, we still live peaceably with them. Our churches have done a horrid job in that throughout time. And while I will tell you there are absolute truths that we must follow, that we must plug ourselves into, that we must seek out from God, because it's a truth from God that someone else chooses not to follow, doesn't mean that we become hateful or vengeful against them. Instead, we live in peace as long as they visit peace upon us. Why? Because he says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. Some of you will have rather allow God's wrath to fall upon them inside your text. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. So in other words, because God will eventually return and his righteous judgment will come upon each and every person, it's not for us to visit that upon them. God's wrath will come upon them at this time. But if we choose to be vengeful towards them, if we choose to try to make God's righteousness fall upon them when it's not ours to fall upon them, then we become hateful and spiteful, and we don't live a life of love, and then love becomes full of hypocrisy. And so we must continue to love them. You can love without agreeing. It's very possible. Each and every day you choose to do that with your children, right? I love you, but you can't go do that Friday night. Sorry, it's just not going to happen. See, we can love another person. We can care for that person. We can even have best interest and share that concern with a person in love and have peace in the moment. But if we become vengeful, hateful, prideful, righteousness falls upon us, and then we will be judged in the same manner. Continues, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. So in other words, reach out, be kind, be compassionate. Share God's love with them, even in their moment of hate, even in their moment of violence towards you. Because in doing so, you heap coals upon their heads. So in other words, as you do so, the Holy Spirit will start convicting their actions, their conscience. And you'll be able to find yourself standing before the Lord with love at the heart of the situation. He says this, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, when we wear Jesus' lenses, when we put his glasses on, and as we move forward in that life, we can overcome evil, because it's not the moment that we're living for. We're living for the eternity that God has given us, that he's promised to us. See, when we choose to put on the lenses that God has given us, we can see things that no one else can see. If you turn to Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, you'll read, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. I love the verbs he uses in this. To find. To go. See, when you put on your glasses, when you put on the lenses that God gives you, you can find the narrow path. Each and every day it presents itself. Each and every situation, the narrow path is through it. And I guarantee you, in our humanness, in our brokenness, we won't always see the proper path at that particular moment, but we'll see the greater path that the narrow path or the narrow gate is led to. But if we put on the lenses that God gives us each and every day, we'll see that path more clear. And each and every day, we'll be able to follow it a little bit more, and we'll be able to see the narrow gate a little bit better. Each and every morning, you have the choice. Choose the lenses you will wear for that day. And every time you make that choice, the choice will impact how you see the world around you. And it will affect and effect each and every situation that you find yourself in. It'll dictate how you move through the world. If you choose to put God's glasses on each and every morning, if you wear the glasses that Paul tells us to wear to look like a Christian, to see the world as Christ calls us to see the world, through love, through making peace, through being in relationship with other people, by walking with them as they rejoice and walking with them as they weep, by seeing evil and refusing to pay out evil for evil, but instead to bring God's love, compassion, and provision into the situation. See, when you choose to see through God's lenses, you start seeing the world for the in-depth, real 3D experience that it is. When you choose to use the lenses that God gives you, you start seeing the world for the way that God wills the world to be. And you can find joy and happiness in that moment. See, when you put on the lenses that God gives us each and every morning, when you say, yes, Lord God, show me what you will me to see, you become his agent in this world instead of your own agent in this world. And his will is what is done versus your will, which is done. See, each and every day you get to choose what pair of glasses you put on. I hope, I pray that the choice that you make to wear the lenses that God put on the side of your bed and not the one the world put on the side of your bed. See the world for what God wills you to see in it, that you may be the child of God that God has created you to be, that your life may be full of happiness and joy and the blessings and the promise that Jesus Christ makes. So, church, which glasses will you wear? Which glasses will you choose? We're going to move into communion. We're going to take a few moments. We're going to do communion individually. So you'll come forward, you'll take the host, you'll go back and you'll sit down. We're going to give you about 2 minutes to pray. And I want you to pray that Jesus Christ blesses you with his lenses, his glasses. That as you come to this table and you commune with the Lord in remembrance of what he paid on the cross, that you will see the world through the cross as he asks us to see it. That you'll have a moment of clarity to see the world for how Jesus sees the world, not for how we see the world. Luke, I'm going to have you come forward. Frank, would you be willing to come forward? Paul, why don't you guys come forward? So as we stand, I'm going to have you come forward. We're going to take the host, and you're going to go sit back, and we're going to give you 2 minutes. Dave, if we could have a little bit of music during that, that'd be great. All right, my son's giving us a hands up, so we're good to go there. The table is set. All who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are welcome at this table. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we open up our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our whole soul to you, Lord God. For you are a glorious God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the seen and the unseen. Lord God, we pray that you remove the lenses of this world from us and place your lenses upon us, that we may see the world as you see it, the creation that you love, the creation that you bless. Lord God, let us not see what the world tells us is truth, but what you tell us is truth, that we may stand steadfast upon your foundation. For you declared your creation good. You declared your Son beloved. And Lord, we come before you, Jesus, remembering that your body was broke and your blood was shed, that the whole world who may believe in you may be redeemed, and that your righteousness, your perfection will return. Lord God, help us see that. Help us see the world as you see it. Let us have your eyes, your ears, your heart. Lord, we pray this in your holy name. Amen. The question is, why does it matter? Each and every day, you choose to see the world for the way that God will show you or the world will show you itself. The reason it matters why is because how you choose to see the world will be how you affect the world and how you move through it. So go in peace and serve the Lord. For each and every day is his. Amen.